into the great wide open, under them skies of blue.
Morning, 8 o'clock. It's Rosie on the house. Your Saturday morning tradition for 32 years. Fourth Saturday of the month. We're talking with Farmer Greg. We're talking preserving the harvest, and he's got special guest Ann Kari Spencer of CityFarmingBook.com. We've talked through canning, we've talked through pickling and fermenting, and we're going to go into dehydrating. But Farmer Greg had just asked the question as we were going to bottom of the hour news about what currently do you have that you're going to be preserving? And I think squash was where Kari was getting ready to go with that.
Yeah, I was. I love to can squash. Like when we get sick of eating yellow squash or zucchini,
right?
Which happens because you get so many when you grow them.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the old joke where the neighbors won't answer the doors and they go running because they know you're knocking on the door with more zucchini.
That's right. Yeah. So instead of pawning it off on your neighbors when they're sick of it too, then you can pickle it. I love to make squash relish. One of my favorite things.
Put
the squash relish on everything, not just on hot dogs and hamburgers, but it's good on a lot of different foods. So
it's like pickle relish, but it's squash relish.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Wow. And I guess you could go with the fermented version of that or the sweet version of that as well.
Yeah, I usually do the sweet because I like it better. Yeah. But you could do it any number of ways.
Yeah, and I get this question from people, what should I grow? And you just answered the question because you like it. You grow things, those things that you grow the most of, it's what you love.
Absolutely.
Otherwise, why bother?
All right. I don't grow honeydew melon because I discovered I don't like it. But cantaloupe, I'll grow.
There you go. There you go. So the amazing thing about our yards is how much they grow. We talked about peaches earlier. Right now, I have tens of thousands of carrot seeds in my front yard. So the abundance that we have in our yards once we start growing this stuff, it can be mind-blowing, and we have to prep for it. And one of the ways that I've prepped for it is dehydrating. I bought myself a jumbo dehydrator, and we just got done dehydrating hundreds, maybe thousands of apricots.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's one of my favorite things to dehydrate. What about you?
My very favorite thing to dehydrate is fruit leather.
Oh,
so
yes.
Any kind of fruit. And there's lots of recipes. You cook it up. Like my favorite is apple pie fruit leather.
Oh.
So you make a sauce like apple, just like you're going to make an apple pie, but then you put it in the blender and just make it smooth. And spread it out on your dehydrator tray with a piece of parchment under it. Dehydrate it. Then you can cut it and roll it up, and you've got homemade fruit leather. And it doesn't stay around my house very long if I make it. It's gone.
Right.
You know?
Well, and I'm just thinking that would be a great project for tomorrow for me for peaches.
Mm-hmm.
Because, first of all, we have so many of them. And secondly, they're really juicy.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you can make peach fruit leather. Yum. Make it like peach pie.
Yeah.
You know, tasting.
Right.
Yeah.
Nice. So the kinds of dehydrators that are out there, I used to have a small plastic one, and then I graduated to, I found a larger stainless steel one because we get so much.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of dehydrator do you use?
I have the bigger one too, but I did start out with one that I bought at a thrift store.
Mm-hmm.
Just to try it out and see if I liked it, right?
Yeah.
But I found that the bigger one actually works a whole lot better, and I can do a lot more at one time.
Yeah.
So I did invest in the big dehydrator, but we live in a dehydrator, don't we, here in Phoenix?
Right.
Right, so you can buy a dehydrator, or you can dehydrate on a very, very low temperature in your oven.
Mm-hmm.
Or you can put your stuff that you want to dehydrate outside in a shady spot covered with some kind of a netting so that the bugs don't get it.
Yeah.
and just dehydrate in your backyard or on your porch.
Well, I've seen solar dehydrators before.
Oh, sure. Those exist. And there are even plans online where you could make one yourself.
Yeah.
If you want.
And so one of the things I noticed in my dehydrator is it runs for a few hours and then it stops. And I think I had set my dehydrator to run for 8 hours. The apricots weren't quite done. And when I went out there a couple hours later, there were fruit flies everywhere.
Oh, no.
So if you are going to use a solar dehydrator, you have to make sure that it's sealed well enough so that the bugs don't get in.
That's right. That's the trick. Let the moisture out, but don't let the bugs in.
Right. So one of the cool things about dehydrating is that the stuff lasts.
It lasts forever. You know, it seems like that's not true. Not forever. But it can last in a small space. Because if you're dehydrating peaches, they can take up a lot of space in your freezer. But if you dehydrate them, they shrink because the moisture goes out of them.
Yeah.
So you can have them stored in very little space.
Yeah, I think you meant if you freeze them, they take up a lot of space in
your
freezer.
Right, right, right. Exactly.
If you dehydrate them, it dehydrates them down a lot. I actually have 3 1-gallon jars of dehydrated apricots that would have probably taken up a whole lot more space in my freezer.
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you got to make sure they're pretty dry before you put them in the jars, right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you can grow molds and stuff.
Yeah. Well, and my second step to that, once I dehydrate them, is I stick them in the freezer.
Oh, there you go.
Just for long-term storage.
Yeah.
Always in a jar. I always like storing them in jars. That way there's, much less freezer burn. And the thing is that my apricots and apples, those are the two main things I dehydrate. I'm still eating a little bit of last year's that I dehydrated this year. So, and we just got done with apricots, and apples are about 30 days out.
So you're prepping.
Yeah, so I'm getting prepped. And, you have this conversation on our Growing Food the Basics course. Week 7 is all about being prepared for making sure that you have the supplies that you need. So in the whole scope of everything, if you have a bunch of stuff, what kind of supplies might we need? A dehydrator would be one of them.
Yeah, it depends on what you want to make, how you want to preserve. So basically when your harvest is going to come in, right?
Yeah.
You can put it on your calendar and then make sure that you have your canner or your dehydrator or whatever way that you want to preserve those and some recipes and even the spices and things that you're going to use.
Right.
So that when everything becomes ripe, you can very quickly preserve it. And by doing it that way, you're going to get the most out of the vitamins. The fresher it is, the faster you can it.
Yeah.
Because every minute it sits on your counter, it's losing that nutrition value.
Yeah.
Right. So you want to get it preserved really fast. And also, these things can go bad so fast.
Right.
And it's just horrible when you have a big harvest and you can't get to it fast enough and things just go bad. That's sad.
So, right?
Yeah, we want to make sure we get all of the value out of the trouble that we take to grow things, right?
Yeah, because it does take a bit to grow things.
It does.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, there's other things we can dehydrate, like kale.
Yeah. Did you do any this year?
I didn't because I ate all my kale.
Oh, you ate it all. Yeah, well, you can make kale chips in the dehydrator. Yum.
Yep.
Or you can just dehydrate the kale and then you can crunch it up, put it in smoothies.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
When I think that a few years ago you dehydrated some citrus and brought it to me, didn't you?
I probably did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like dehydrated citrus. I love it. It's like candy. I put some sugar on it. Yeah.
Right.
What? Yeah. And it's the peels. It's really the peels that I like to dehydrate. But you can dehydrate a slice of orange and it's yummy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And what other kinds of things do you dehydrate?
What else do I dehydrate? Oh boy. Well, you can dehydrate melon.
Oh yeah. Oh,
very yeah.
Good. Pickle melon, dehydrate melon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to make the fruit leather. mm-hmm. out of melon, but not honeydew because I don't like that. Yeah. But other kinds of melons, like watermelon. Oh, my goodness.
That just sounds weird that you can dehydrate fruit. You know, a watermelon, well, you're taking the water out.
Right.
What do you have left?
What is it, right?
You had the sugar. That's what you have left. So that's why it's so delicious.
And your point is?
Exactly. So the other thing I have an amazing abundance of, and this goes a little bit away from dehydrating it, but it goes to preserving. In my front yard right now, I have, as I mentioned earlier, tens of thousands of carrot seeds. And so harvesting and I guess it's not really preserving, but harvesting and preserving those seeds for next year is a really important part of the process as well, is it not?
It is. And actually, it is preserving because you want to make sure when you collect those seeds mm-hmm. that you store them in a cool, dark, and dry place mm-hmm. And then pull them out for next year and grow more carrots than you ever could eat, right?
Yeah.
So it is important to collect our own seeds and to preserve them.
Well, and that's the cool thing about, again, the abundance of our gardens. And if we're using open pollinated seeds, those are seeds that aren't hybrid or aren't GMO. If we're using open pollinated and we let things go to seeds in our landscape, we can get next year's seed harvest.
Yeah, we can. And we can share it with our neighbors, too.
Yeah.
Because you'll get more seed than you probably will grow yourself.
Yeah, I'll bet you I get 5 pounds of carrot seeds out of my front yard this year.
That's a lot of carrot
That's
seeds.
That's a lot of carrot seeds.
Because they are teeny tiny.
Yeah, there's probably 400,000 seeds in a pound of carrots.
Yeah, that's enough for your whole block, you know.
So look up online. Look up online what a carrot going to seed looks like. It's beautiful.
Yeah, they're pretty.
It's stunning. Mm-hmm. So seeds that I have available right now in my front yard that I can actually harvest. Cilantro, mm-hmm. nasturtiums, parsley, basil, lettuce, kale.
I have a lot of, this isn't food, but I have a lot of snapdragon seeds, tons of them. Yeah. Yeah. So I never have to buy a snapdragon plant because I have the seed.
Right.
We're talking preserving the harvest with Farmer Greg and Kari Spencer. We're live at Sanderson Ford. If you hear the violin in the back, it's the Arizona Wildflowers who will be here starting to perform their Bluegrass Music, a local band from Casa Grande, who are returning here by popular request from a previous Sanderson Ford anniversary celebration. You can come on by today. We'll be here broadcasting live until 11